Dateline Washington, Monday, December 8th, 2008. Hello again from the nation's capital. I'm Greg Corumbus. In this edition, what to do about the auto industry, what to do about the Obama economic plan. We'll talk about both with Scott Hodge of the Tax Foundation here in Washington, and hear his reaction to the plea for more federal money for the struggling automakers, as well as Barack Obama's push for major infrastructure projects and other public works priorities to help jumpstart the economy. Also in this edition, we'd like to plead guilty so we can get executed sooner, please. That's the plea from at least five detainees at Guantanamo Bay. Why would they want to do that? And why does the election of Barack Obama seem to be expediting their wish? We'll talk with Major Kinder Rotunda, who used to be part of the U.S. Army's prosecution team at Guantanamo. Plus, the recount grinds on. We'll talk with Kevin Dukeser of the Minneapolis Star Tribune about the latest in the Minnesota Senate recount between Norm Coleman and Al Franken, and the facts about cell phone use, text messaging, and safety while you're driving. We'll talk with Peter Kissinger of the AAA Foundation. All that, plus Monday's top news, follows our discussion with Scott Hodge of the Tax Foundation, and that begins right now. My first guest in this edition is Scott Hodge, president of the Tax Foundation here in Washington. We want to get his thoughts on some of the critical economic issues facing legislators, the incoming administration of Barack Obama, and, of course, the American people. We want to get his impressions of what Congress should do in terms of helping out the beleaguered U.S. auto industry, and what he thinks of what we've heard so far of Barack Obama's plan to revitalize the economy. And Scott, it's always good to have you with us.
Well, thank you, Greg.
The CEOs from Ford, GM, and Chrysler have been to Washington twice now. They drove the second time, so that was received a little bit better. And they also had a more detailed restructuring plan. It looks as though right now there'll be some sort of federal assistance for the auto industry, but it's yet to be determined whether that will actually happen. And if it does, whether they'll get the entire $34 billion in bridge loans they're asking for. What's your impression of what's best for the economy and what's best for the automakers?
Well, I think what we're seeing is members of Congress trying to sort of straddle the fence here. They want to provide just enough assistance to the big three automakers to get them through to next spring and let the new administration and new Congress decide what to do for the long term. And so what we're seeing is a deal being cooked up between the White House and Congress for about $15 billion in bridge loans to get them through to the spring and see what happens. But from what everything I'm seeing, the American public are turning against this bailout in great majorities. In some polls, as much as two-thirds of Americans oppose bailing out the big three automakers, and I think that what people are rightly afraid of is throwing good money after bad. They're seeing very bad management run these companies into the ground, and they're afraid of throwing good taxpayer money after it and never getting any return on that investment, and just simply seeing the automakers come back hat in hand next year once they run out of cash again.
Do you think they're right?
I think it's a very difficult case for the automakers to make. They have proven to be very bad business leaders and have a very bad business plan, and it's very difficult to argue why they should be given good money, good taxpayer money, if private investors and bankers are not willing to lend them. So, you know, if the private sector is not willing to step up, why should Uncle Sam and the taxpayers?
What's the impact on the industry if they don't get these loans? GM and Chrysler say they can't stay afloat for more than a few more weeks without it. Do you believe the situation is exactly that dire? They can't either float on their own or get help from anywhere else?
Well, I guess we have to take them at their word, but if they have to maybe go into Chapter 11, that could actually be the best thing for them, because what they need is maybe not a new infusion of cash per se, but they need to break up the old ways of doing things. They need to break contracts with the unions. They need to break contracts with dealers, and a lot of that, from what I understand, cannot happen unless they actually go into Chapter 11 and go through a full-scale restructuring. That's what they need, and it seems to me that this handout will just delay the inevitable. And instead of forcing them to do what they really need to do, and that's to dramatically restructure. And, you know, the handout is just simply a patchwork right now, not the real reform that they need.
Scott, I'm sure you've heard the comments from those in favor of extending the loans to the big three that going into Chapter 11 is not, in their opinion, a viable option because they say, unlike, say, for example, airlines that continue to operate during bankruptcy, people aren't wanting to plunk down tens of thousands of dollars on a product when they don't know if the company that makes it is going to be around for the foreseeable future. Is it a different animal with the auto industry, or is it essentially the same?
Oh, I think they're just trying to save face, and millions of people flew on airlines that were in bankruptcy over the last 5 years, whether it was United or American and so forth, and no one seemed to worry that the plane was going to fall out of the sky. I think people are sophisticated to understand that bankruptcy is not a death sentence anymore, that it is an opportunity for a company to restructure and remake itself and reinvent its business plan to make itself not only more profitable, but perhaps even more importantly, deliver a better product to the customer that they want to buy. And the airlines did that very successfully. I see no reason why the car companies can't do the same.
Scott, do you get the sense that the bailout for Wall Street to the tune of $700 billion and the way that's been managed, which is quite a bit different than originally advertised, has really soured the people to more federal involvement with their own tax dollars to get this economic ship headed in the right direction?
Well, I think it's very clear that the public and increasingly many members of Congress are getting bailout fatigue, that the $700 billion really did shock people with its magnitude. And they're really questioning whether or not, even though the fact that only half of that has been spent at this point, whether it's had the kind of impact that we were really promised. And so I think people are waiting for something to actually happen to see the economy turn around. And they're getting very sour on the idea of throwing more money at the problem and questioning whether this is the right solution to our economic problems.
Well, it's certainly clear that many lawmakers and the general public as a whole are a little bit tired about excessive government spending when it seems like there's no end to it. But government spending in certain areas seems to be the crux of the Obama economic recovery plan that he plans to interject once he's inaugurated on January 20th. And a lot of it looks like public works projects, major infrastructure investments. Obviously, that's been an issue over the past couple of years, ever since the bridge collapse in Minnesota, and other ways to get Americans back to work in a way that a lot of people are comparing to the New Deal. The Tax Foundation has been around since just a couple of years after the New Deal started. So what's your analysis of whether that's a good model to follow?
Well, I think it's a terrible model to follow, and I think that historians are now beginning to realize that some of that spending that went that New Deal spending may have actually extended the depression longer than it really needed to be, because it takes money out of the productive hands of the private sector and puts it in the hands of the government, which we all know is incredibly inefficient, and this could essentially fund, you know, dozens of bridges to nowhere all across the country under the guise of trying to revitalize the economy. And really what this is, I think in the end, because is a bailout for big city mayors and governors across the country who have mismanaged their economies and their budgets. California comes to mind. One of the recent press conferences with Obama, we saw Governor Schwarzenegger there, hat in hand, and they're facing huge budget crisis. Mayor Bloomberg was there. And both of those gentlemen, those politicians, are behind a project called Transportation Now or something, in which they actually started up last summer trying to build support for more infrastructure spending. So what I see them doing is being politically savvy and trying to jump on the economic troubles and say, aha, you know, here's the way to get America out of its economic problem by spending on our infrastructure projects. So I really think that this is just politically motivated. I don't think in the end it's going to jumpstart the economy. After all, even if Congress were to pass this huge infrastructure infrastructure plan by February or March, it'll take at least 6 months for any shovels to get into the ground. That means that government won't be spending money on infrastructure until the end of next year. How is that going to help the economy in the short run? It's not. So really, at the end of the day, to me, this is a lot of smoke and mirrors, and it's not going to do anything to jumpstart the economy.
Scott, you mentioned in the first part of your response there that you believe a much better response is to get money in the hands of the private sector because they will grow the economy much better than government could ever hope to. What's the best way to get that money in the hands of the private sector, and what do you expect they would do with it once they have it?
Well, I think we need to look at a recent report out of the Paris-based Organization for Economic Development and Cooperation. It's the OECD. Just did a worldwide study of tax systems, and they found out that corporate taxes are the most harmful tax to economic growth. And so what I would do is immediately cut the U.S. corporate tax rate, which is one of the highest corporate tax rates in the world, and is making the U.S. Less competitive in the global economy. By cutting our corporate tax, we would eliminate the most harmful tax for economic growth. We would jumpstart the economy and immediately make the U.S. a more competitive place to do business. The OECD also found that high personal income taxes, which we have, are also harmful for economic growth. And I think that argues for looking at cutting our individual tax rates yet again in order to reduce that burden on Americans, especially entrepreneurs who often pay their business taxes through their individual tax form. I really think that tax cuts are the solution to this problem, not more government spending, not more government debt, and essentially saddling the next generation of taxpayers with our problems today.
About a minute left here. Scott, given the political realities here in Washington, how much traction do you think those ideas can get?
Well, it's really hard to say. I think once people get the sticker shock of how much Obama is talking about spending, and that's even before the special interests and the governors jump on board and balloon these spending bills even larger, I think people are going to be open to different kinds of solutions. Let's look at what's going on abroad. Korea just announced today that their legislature has enacted a corporate tax rate cut. We see other countries across the globe cutting their corporate and individual taxes to be more competitive. In fact, Vladimir Putin announced that Russia is cutting its corporate tax rate down to 20% next year in order to stabilize their economy. If the rest of the world gets it, certainly we can too. And we ought to look outside the box and not just see government as the answer, but look at the private sector as the solution.
Scott, unfortunately, that'll have to be the last word. As always, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Greg.
Scott Hodges, president of the Tax Foundation here in Washington. This is Dateline Washington.